I have been told that high in the Canadian Rockies, where towering snow-capped peaks keep silent watch, the tourist trail winds through a pass. At the crest of the pass, the roadway is spanned by a great wooden arch. On the eastern approach is the name Alberta, and on the western side, British Columbia, for it stands on the boundary between these two provinces. But its real purpose is to mark the dividing point in the watershed of the North American continent. And across the top of the large wooden arch are the words, "The Great Divide." On one side of this crest line, the waters flow eastward through various channels to their final destination, the Atlantic Ocean. On the opposite side of the crest line, the waters flow westward and eventually pour into the Pacific Ocean. Two snowflakes may be nestled side by side as they melt. The destination of the one may be in the opposite direction of the other. As you read your Bible, you will have no difficulty in noticing another great divide which separates humanity into two streams. They are flowing in opposite directions, to destinations much farther apart than the east is from the west. Two distinct destinations for the human family are set forth in God's precious word. The one, bearing the name of heaven, and described in God's revelation as a very desirable place, the abode of God himself, a place where all the unpleasant things of earth are unknown. No sickness, no sorrow, no death, no mistakes, no disappointments, no separation, no darkness, nothing but absolute peace and satisfaction. The other destination mentioned in the Holy Scriptures bears the name of hell, a place of torment, a place of weeping, wailing, and gnashing of teeth, suffering, anguish, unrest, where the worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. It's a place that was prepared by a holy God, not for men, but for the devil and his angels. God in grace has provided salvation for all the sons of men in the person of his only begotten Son, so that everyone might enjoy that happy eternal destination called heaven. His blessed Son died for lost guilty sinners on Calvary's rugged cross, so that God might remain holy and righteous, and at the same time extend mercy and salvation to the undeserving. After providing salvation for sinners at an infinite cost, he asked the individual to use the power of choice, to decide for himself whether or not he wants to make heaven his eternal destiny. Strange as it may seem, in fact it's the most astonishing thing in history, that down through the ages there have always been some who would rather choose hell than heaven for their eternal home. It seems to be a form of insanity, and it is. But it proves one thing, the tremendous power of a subtle devil. He is the prince of the power of the air. He is so clever as a salesman that he can actually persuade men to believe that hell is to be preferred rather than heaven. The snowflake that is resting on the mountain peak on the dividing line of the continent has no choice in the matter of its destiny. But to man, God has given the privilege of choosing his own eternal destiny. If he prefers to listen to the lies of the devil, he may do so. He has that privilege. Every person who has passed off this scene is now enjoying the glories of heaven. He is there because he has made that a deliberate choice. Every person who has passed off this scene and is now found in hell is there by a deliberate choice. No one is in hell because God has put him there. He is not willing that any should perish, but rather that all men should be saved. His happy heaven is large enough to accommodate all the sons of men. Strange reasoning that some would prefer to go to hell. The great divide that God has set up in his word is the Lord Jesus Christ, and the question which will determine your eternal destiny will be, what is your relation to the Lord Jesus Christ? God was pleased to send his Son from heaven and to give to him a body in which he might suffer and die for our sins. This is the work which he accomplished when he was hanging on Calvary's cross. He died as our substitute in our stead. He bore the punishment that we deserve to bear. And through his substitutionary death and resurrection, he opened heaven's gate for all who care to enter. If Jesus Christ had not died for our sins, we would have no choice in the matter of our eternal destiny. But since Christ died as our substitute, I have the privilege of claiming him as my Lord and Savior, and thereby choosing heaven, not hell, as my eternal home. And all I would need to do to select hell as my destiny would be to ignore or neglect to receive Christ as my personal Savior. I ask you a very personal but important question. Have you received as your Savior the Lord Jesus Christ? Do you believe that his death on the cross, his finished work, is sufficient to settle your sin question and to shelter you from the coming judgment? If so, God's word assures you that you are heaven bound, and a new life will automatically follow. New desires to live for Christ are the proof that your faith in Christ is a heart knowledge, a mere head knowledge. Historical facts will not produce new desires. If you do not believe that Christ and his death on Calvary is sufficient to save you, then you will not trust him, and by neglecting to trust him, you make a deliberate choice of spending eternity in hell. The Lord Jesus Christ and your attitude toward him becomes your great divide. Listen to the great divide in this verse. It's John 3:36. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. He that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. Did you notice the necessity for the individual choice in this verse? He that believeth, or he that believeth not. A choice must be made. It's impossible to be neutral on this matter. Either you believe on the Son and are heaven-bound, or you do not believe on the Son and are hell-bound. Only a dishonest man with a warped mind will question the Bible fact that there are two opposite destinations, and that every individual in his relation to Jesus Christ makes his choice to spend eternity in heaven or in hell. Pilate the governor stood at the great divide one day when he said, "What shall I do then with Jesus, which is called Christ?" And I bring you, my friend, to face this same question. What shall I do with Jesus? There are some questions that you do not have to answer, but this one you must. There is no escape from it. You must receive Christ or reject him. God will drive no man into heaven. He will force no man to accept Christ, but he will force every man to a decision. For your eternal happiness, you should receive him. You need Christ more than you need any other person. You need him in life. You will need him in death. You will need him throughout all eternity. You need Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. You need him to bring peace into your life. I ask you once more, as you stand right now at the great divide, what will you do with the Lord Jesus Christ?